Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. So you've had some things that you are doing for self-improvement. So one of them was baking.
I did everything I needed to do. I learned what I had to for my goals, but it has moved a little bit to the back burner. Piano, I keep doing it, but I'm pretty bad. So you know that some people have musical ability. I just don't. But I still do it. I go to classes once a week with my very patient teacher, and she hasn't given up on me yet. And it's fun. It's fun to do something pretty bad.
We were talking about what we might do on our off days or Sundays, but you mentioned hiking, maybe rock climbing.
I do hiking, and I'm starting to do rock climbing, for which I'm terrible also. I'm totally unflexible. There is a moment in rock climbing that you have to let go, and I'm not good at that. I cannot even think about letting go of anything, but I think it's good to do something for which you are not good, because then it stretches you a little bit. I listened to a podcast today. You know, I listen to podcasts all the time. And this one said, any learning begins across your comfort zone. So if you only jog, for instance, your body gets used, as you know, if you always run the same speed, your body learns how to do it, and then it stays there. You need to go faster, or you need to do something different in order for you to grow. So rock climbing is one of the things that terrorizes me the most, getting very afraid. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I could try that.
Well, I'm very risk averse, so I'm really impressed, and really, really impressed by what you're doing. But also, I like what you speak of in growing, is you need to take that risk sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
as we will see today in today's gospel, there is a lot of growth that needs to happen with that community trying to understand the resurrection. It's a long gospel, but we discussed this before we started, that we should read it, because there is a shorter version that you may find in your parish this weekend, but we think that that shorter version takes away part of the beauty of today's gospel, so that's what we're going to read.
This is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in, because of the number of the fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 183 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This is now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." So I think what most would agree would be some of the most beautiful encounters in all of the Gospels. This really ranks pretty highly. And it's so, during this Easter season, what a gift it is to hear this. So again, you might hear the short version at Mass this weekend. Here's the long version, which, of course, I think the two of us prefer.
This encounter with the risen Christ, I think it fulfills two of the things we said during previous podcasts. Jesus has to reveal himself. It's not obvious to his disciples that he's Jesus. There is some kind of revelation needed there, which is a good lesson for us. We need to learn to discover or to acknowledge, to discern the risen Christ. And the second thing is that despite this strong dialogue with Peter, Simon Peter, he appears, reveals himself to a community. And I know many people will be interested about this number of fish that is being 183, I think you said.
Right.
But tell me how many disciples are in this scene. It says Simon Peter was there, which is one.
Yeah, so there's Simon Peter, Thomas.
Two.
Nathaniel.
Three.
Zebedee's sons.
Four and five.
And two others of the
disciples.
Six
and seven. Seven is a very important number in New Testament. So I think that's probably a hidden surprise for me. Or if you count, this is a community of the resurrection because they are seven. Maybe they are struggling. Some people could say that they are back in the beginning fishing, but Jesus told them to go to the beginning also, to go to Galilee, and they are starting from the beginning. So it's an interesting gospel because you don't know exactly if it's all positive or all negative. And then we have the second part, the longer part about the dialogue. "Do you love me, Philip?"
Yeah, that's that really powerful question asked three times. And, you know, maybe just refresh us. Again, I don't know the specifics. Maybe
yeah.
You remember more off the top of your head. But, you know, the Greek of those three questions,
it's
are very
different. Yes.
Yeah.
So Peter, it would be like want and love, even though it's not exactly this. It would be like Peter saying, Jesus asking, "Do you love me?" And Peter saying, "Yes, I want you." It's not exactly this, but it's two different verbs that are being used. But it's beautiful also to see how Jesus refers Peter back to, "Then take care of my people." That's the point. Isn't that the point of the gospel? Isn't that the point of faith, how we treat others? I'm convinced that this is how we will be judged. They will not ask me how many masses I presided. I think they will, in the day of judgment, I will be asked. Simon Peter will ask me, "How did you treat people?"
Right. And I think that's important for a priest, for a minister, but a reminder that we're all going to be, I think, questioned based on our state in life, you know, as a parent. How did you love your children? You know, mm-hmm. How did you sacrifice and be generous in that way? To a single person, it might be different. And so I think those would be different, asked differently. What's so powerful is the just that reminder to Simon Peter, and really that command to Simon Peter, you're going to be led where you don't want to go.
Hmm.
And that's the call to every single one of us, really, to follow Jesus. Is you're going to go to places you might not want to go. Not always. It's not a life of misery, but sometimes it's not our own choices. And
it could be a life of fun, but still the statement could be true, right?
Sure.
Sometimes you get lots of happiness from unexpected places, from unexpected people, from unexpected situations. It's a great lesson that you're giving us there.
Well, and this is the almost the countercultural aspect of this, those unexpected things. I think the way that we live in the world today is we want to control everything. Mm-hmm. It's so predictable. And I'm of the opinion our lives have gotten so boring. Really, I think life and the world has gotten so boring because we try to control everything. A life with Jesus Christ and a life with him leading us is exciting, and it's unpredictable, and it's fun.
What's the last sentence in the gospel?
Follow me.
Follow me.
Follow
me.
Be
my disciple. Get behind me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it really is that simple. There's all everything that's going on right here, but going back to the beginning, then back to fishing, the call is very simple, and it's something that all of us can do. It doesn't take any special intellectual abilities. I love, again, that we're reminded that the apostles here are just normal people. They're just fishermen. They're not scholars. They're just normal people, just like all of us, and follow me.
So we keep, I believe Easter is about learning the resurrection, more than, because we believe in it already. What about filling up this belief with actions and behaviors that are of the risen Christ, you know? So I also wanted to say that the first readings during Easter are Acts of the Apostles, which really people think it's history. It's not history, it's gospel language also. And it's the struggle of these first communities to precisely understand what the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus meant. And aren't we in the same line of thought, trying to find out, discern? So maybe discerning the resurrection would be a great theme for Easter.
Sometimes you have said that I maybe clarify something you've said. In fact, what you just said is my major bullet point as I speak of the Acts of the Apostles.
So say it again. Say it again.
Well, I think the Acts of the Apostles, they're people just like us who are figuring out the new church and Christianity after the resurrection, because they're present after Jesus has ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has come upon them. So that's just like us as well. We're trying to figure all this out, and how do we live? What's great about the Acts of the Apostles is you see the messiness of this and how these communities stay together because of a focus on Jesus Christ. The second readings for Easter, the book of Revelation, which is a very unique genre, but very beautiful. So just all three readings during the Easter Sundays are just very, very beautiful.
So if you want to enjoy Easter, it makes sense to come every Sunday. You would be welcome at any parish, I'm sure. And if you want to know about Mass times, there is this website that Father Philip always mentions.
Well, first of all, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website here in Milwaukee, archmil.org, and then masstimes.org. If you don't know about that, that's a great place nationally to find Mass times.
And if you have a friend who could benefit from listening to this podcast, let them know we exist. See you next Wednesday, Philip.
See you next week.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.